Dear young people of the United States, praise be Jesus Christ.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Now, this coming Sunday, October 22nd, is the feast of St. John Paul II. On the 45th anniversary of his inauguration as Pope, he broke the Italian mold. He traveled the world visiting 129 countries, and he re-landscaped the papacy. Pope St. John Paul II's legacy is immense. St. John Paul II, John Paul the Great, was also the record-setting Pope.
Habemus Papam.
In the 2,000-year history of the Catholic Church, no pope ever set as many records during his pontificate than Pope John Paul II. His 26-year reign was the third longest in the history of the papacy. Only Pius IX and St. Peter's pontificates lasted longer than Pope John Paul II. This Holy Father was also the most traveled pope in history, traveling outside the Vatican more than 1,500 times for official trips. Pope John Paul II visited 129 nations and traveled more than 700,000 miles, more than three times the distance to the moon. Altogether, Pope John Paul II spent over 2.5 years away from the Vatican. The Holy Father set the all-time attendance record in the history of the world when he celebrated Mass in front of over 5 million people in Manila in 1995. John Paul was also the first pope to visit a modern-day synagogue, the first Holy Father to enter a Protestant church, and the first pope to visit a mosque in the church's history. Pope John Paul II also created the greatest number of saints and blesseds in the history of the church, more than all the other popes combined. He beatified 1,338 blesseds and canonized 482 saints. He also considerably expanded the College of Cardinals, creating 231 cardinals, and he also named over 3,500 bishops during his pontificate. Pope John Paul II loved young people and was the creator of World Youth Day, which he celebrated 19 times on 5 continents. This pontiff was also a prolific writer. He published 5 books of his own and recorded more than 1,000 pages of magisterial documents. That included 14 encyclicals, 15 apostolic exhortations, 11 apostolic constitutions, and 45 apostolic letters. His writings included 3,500 speeches from his trips around the world and 1,000 speeches at his papal audiences, which were attended by more than 17 million pilgrims from all corners of the world. Pope John Paul II will be remembered as the record-setting Holy Father, one who truly was a father figure for all mankind.
Happy in the thought that your young hearts accompany me on my journey. Keep the faith joyfully.
I spoke to author and papal biographer George Weigel from Rome earlier this week about the life of Pope St. John Paul II, his relationship with Jews and Muslims, and why he was the great ecumenical pope. George Weigel is a distinguished senior fellow of the Ethics and Public Policy Center, a Catholic theologian, and one of America's leading public intellectuals. He's also the author of Witness to Hope, the biography of Pope John Paul II, and several other books on this Holy Father. Here's my conversation with George Weigel. Good morning, George. Thanks so much for joining us from Roma. It's a joy to be with you in anticipation of the feast of Pope St. John Paul II coming up this Sunday.
Thanks to be with you, John. It's a great day for the Universal Church, and it's a great day to be reminded of what an extraordinary legacy he left us.
Absolutely. And just a quick reminder for our listeners, as I say all the time, Pope St. John Paul II is the co-patron of Relevant Radio. So, George, we're coming up on what is now the 45th anniversary of that historic moment in St. Peter's Square when Pope John Paul II became the 263rd successor of St. Peter. One of the things I wanted to talk about here, John Paul II as the ecumenical pope. He was called the Great Unifier. And I think that this is especially relevant today with the wars that are going on in the Holy Land, not to mention Ukraine. Can you share some of your thoughts on John Paul II, the Great Unifier?
Well, John Paul II understood that unity can only be built on truth. That was his approach to the Catholic Church's dialogue with Anglicanism, with various Protestant communions, with the Orthodox churches of the Christian East. I think his approach to essentially reinventing the Catholic-Jewish dialogue was to reorient it toward biblical truth. These two peoples of the book needed to make a common witness to the truths about the dignity of the human person that the book, the Bible, teaches us. He would have been deeply distressed, horrified by the actions of Hamas in Israel recently. He knew political terror from the inside. He lived for 5.5 years under a draconian Nazi occupation of his native Poland, in which, as one of his classmates told me, you never knew whether you were going to be alive tomorrow morning. So he would be entirely empathetic and sympathetic to people who are living under the threat of this kind of mindless barbarism that we saw displayed by Hamas. John Paul II had a great love for Ukraine. Polish-Ukrainian history is very tangled, very complicated, often not very nice. And yet he understood that Ukraine deserved a chance at being independent, free, prosperous, and faithful. And he tried to help the Ukraine that freed itself from the collapse of the Soviet Union to be just that. His visit to Ukraine, his pilgrimage to Ukraine in 2001, was really an extraordinary event. The inspiration he gave to an entire generation of Ukrainian Catholic leaders has been on display in their remarkable leadership since another barbarian, Vladimir Putin, brutally invaded Ukraine in February of last year. So you see the example of fearless church leadership exemplified by John Paul II, now being exemplified by, for example, the head of the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church, Major Archbishop Sviatoslav Shevchuk, who has been simply extraordinary over the past 18 months.
Well, George, when I think of Pope John Paul II's love for the Jewish people, I think of him, you know, kneeling and praying at Auschwitz, visiting Rome's great synagogue, going and spending time with Jewish rabbis. I mean, he really considered the Jewish people our elder brothers.
Well, he used the phrase elder brothers in the faith at the Great Synagogue of Rome here in during his visit there, and I believe that was 1984. He was great friends with the chief rabbi of Rome in those days, a wonderful man named Elio Toaff, who was actually one of the only two people mentioned in the Pope's last testament. He thanked his longtime secretary, now Cardinal Stanislav Jivish, and he specifically cited by name Rabbi Toaff. John Paul II, Karol Wojtyła, grew up in a town that was 20% Jewish. And he, in his person, the agony of European Jews during the Second World War, he lost many friends. And he was bound and determined to do whatever he could to say with every person of moral decency in the world, never again.
What about his relationship with the Muslim world?
Well, I think we need to begin by saying he understood that this trope we use often, the three Abrahamic religions, was not really accurate. Christianity and Judaism have a relationship with each other that neither has to Islam. And he understood that. And if you read that book of his, Crossing the Threshold of Hope, which I think is perhaps, you know, the closest you get in print to meeting him as a person, you know, he talks about his admiration for genuine Islamic piety. He talks about his admiration for Islamic scholarship over the centuries. But he also says Islam has a very different idea of God than Christians and Jews have. The God of the Quran is not identical to the God of the Bible. Because of that, Islam has a very different view of the human person. The very word Islam means submission. And there's a big difference between submission and conversion. People of the Bible also have a different relationship, and he understood this, to our sacred text, the Bible, than Muslims have to the Quran. I mean, pious Muslims believe that the Quran was dictated. Christians and Jews do not believe that the Bible was dictated. So biblical interpretation is a real art and science in the Jewish and Christian worlds, whereas in Islam, the interpretation of the Quran tends to be almost a kind of mathematical exercise because there is no room for interpretation. I mean, it's, you know, the text is the text and that's it, period. So, you know, while John Paul II understood, particularly in the wake of 9/11, that there were real problems in the world, the post-Cold War world, with jihadist Islam, he did whatever he could to try to build some bridges of understanding. He understood that not all Muslims are jihadists, but he also understood that the notion of jihad did have roots in some forms of religious thought in the Islamic world. And he knew that that had to be a subject of serious conversation and debate.
And exactly a couple of months after 9/11 in January of 2002, the Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, called for an interfaith day of prayer for peace in the world. His famous words, "Violence never again, war never again, terrorism never again." It's a reminder, you know, that was not the first time that he called for a day of prayer. He did it years earlier in Assisi. The importance of praying for peace in this world, just as relevant today as it was then.
Well, that's certainly true, John. We never know what avenues of decency our prayer will open up in otherwise hardened hearts and minds. But, you know, there's another facet of John Paul II's legacy that bears on this question of terrorism and whatnot. And that is, you know, his penultimate encyclical, Fides et Ratio, Faith and Reason. In that, John Paul II said that faith and reason need each other. Faith challenges reason to broaden its horizons, and reason prevents faith from becoming superstition. Reason can temper faith from becoming superstitious and irrational. And that is absolutely true, and it's absolutely missing from jihadist Islam, where reason is not tempering religious enthusiasm, which has become grotesquely and barbarously violent, and imagining that these atrocities are being somehow validated by God. So the insistence of John Paul II on faith and reason is, as he put in that encyclical, two wings on which the human spirit rises to a contemplation of the truth. The world needs that very badly today, and the Islamic world needs it in a particularly urgent way.
George, there's so much to talk about when it comes to Pope St. John Paul II, so little time here this morning, but really appreciate you taking the time to be with us all the way from Rome. It's been an honor to be with you, George.
Thank you, John. Always good to talk to you.
This entire episode of Morning Air is on the Relevant Radio app. The Relevant Radio app is completely free and updated daily with fresh articles, podcasts, and prayers. Don't delay. Download the app today, and thanks for listening.